This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Hon on March 10th, 2024. The message title is Service to Build Up the Body. And the scripture passage is from a letter to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Good morning, and let us continue the study on the letter to the Ephesians. Today's passage is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Let us read. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Last week, we thought about coming away from childishness, from the words of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. This morning, I would like us to focus on the words of chapter 4, verse 12 that I just read, and think about service. I think the first time I served in a church was when I was in my third year of college, and I served in the choir at the Megumi Church's open worship service. At the time, it was called the evening worship service. I really liked the singing praises, and I would open the door of the apartment where I lived alone and sing and sung praises loudly while strumming my guitar with all my might. I shamelessly wrote praise in the hobbies section of my resume as my hobby, so I was able to enjoy the evening chorus service. After serving in the chorus several times, I was given the opportunity to serve as a worship leader, but unlike choral service, serving as a worship leader is not only fun, but I also felt pain and difficulty. Since I stand at the front as someone who leads the praise of worship, I felt a certain amount of pressure, and I prepared the hymn songs that I have chosen with all my heart with my fellow young people. Because we interacted with each other for the practices, our relationships became strained sometimes due to the back and forth of emotions, and there were times when we clashed over techniques. One day during practice, I got a little upset and said, okay, if that's the case, then let's stop singing praises. Then, strangely enough, as it is often said that it rained and the ground hardened, from that moment on, we all started praying seriously, and we were able to enjoy practicing praise together while making up for each other's deficiencies. Still, until the day of Sunday worship, I could not sleep because I was so nervous. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had dreams where I was standing in front praising God. I really could not help but pray to God. At that time, I realized for myself, the service of the church does the work of connecting me to Jesus, even if I don't like it. I feel like this was the first time I realized that this is something that is essential for us to be built up as part of the church, the body of Christ, and to grow together. Most of all, I deeply felt that I was being given a joy that is not empty and that I had never been able to get through anything else. Maybe it's because I'm serious or because I'm sinful, but sometimes I bump into people, sometimes I cooperate with others, sometimes I'm frustrated, sometimes I'm happy. But all those experiences never become vain. Instead, I felt that the serving in the church was where we were used so that we firmly become, we would firmly become flesh and blood in order to reach the stature of Christ. And that is where we should go as Christians. I still feel it. That's exactly what today's Bible passage says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I believe that serving church together with the saints connects us to Jesus. Also, I feel like if I'm not connected to Jesus, I will not feel like serving, so I'm led to pray, read his word, and sing praises in order to stay connected to Jesus. All of these things are connected and lead us to become a mature adult in Christ. Although I say this, the truth is that I did not really like serving in church. The reason was that in order to continue doing church service, I had to make an effort to stay connected to Jesus on every day of the week other than Sunday. To be more precise, except for Sundays, I wanted to live my life the way I wanted. So when I was a university student, I was asked many times to serve at Sunday school, but I kept declining. When I was a university student, I did not really like children, and I was afraid that the children might see right through me. However, when I tried to find out why that was not the case, I realized that in the end, I was an immature and a childish child, and that I unconsciously thought that I wanted to be a selfish child forever. As a college student, my friend gave me the nickname Big Baby. But at that time, I thought, I'm a proper, passionate Christian. I'm an adult, and I'm thinking of going to a seminary. I'm not talking about what I said last week, but I was the same as the disciples who spent 3 years with Jesus, ate and slept together, but all they could think about was childish questions like, who is the greatest? And they did not realize how childish they were. I'm not saying that I'm no longer childish. Unfortunately, I'm still childish, but at least I've come to realize that I want and need to grow in Christ. But in the past, I did not think like that, and in fact, there was a certain arrogance that made me think, imitate my faith. Of course, I still have it, and I can now acknowledge that it is my attitude that is the biggest reason for marital quarrels, parent-child quarrels, and stumbling the family of God. It is because my wife and the children pointed it out to me. One of my children, who did not know that I was given the nickname Big Baby, suddenly said to me, Dad, you are a big baby in a bad way. And I flinched. He was clearly seeing me through. Still, I would like to think that I have grown a little, maybe 1 or 2 centimeters, from 26 years ago to the height of Christ. God did not leave me as a misunderstood college student who hated serving alone. Finally, I was led to a seminary, but the missionary teacher who introduced me to the seminary I went to said the following to me as I was about to go on to seminary. He said, I think that from now on, you will go to seminary, become a seminarian, become an evangelist, and become a pastor. But I think there are many devotees who have the wrong idea about that path. People who become seminarians, evangelists, and pastors do not choose to become seminarians, evangelists, or pastors because they are more religious than others. God leads them down that path because they have a weak faith that would lead them away from Jesus, and they do not know where they will jump to. It is not because they are more religious. Immediately after hearing those words from this missionary, I pretended that I understood it, but I didn't really understand the meaning of those words. However, from the moment I entered the seminary and began the special Greek course until the very moment now, the meaning of that word has been ingrained in me, and it has become a word I will never forget. I refused to be built up to the stature of Christ through church service, and I continued to decline to serve at Megumi Church's Sunday school, using the excuse that I did not like children. I was led somewhere. The seminary in South Korea, called United Graduate School of Theology, which I entered, signed an agreement with TCU last year, in which all enrolled seminarians are required to work as paid church evangelists for at least 2 of the 3 years of the study time, without which they could not graduate. I did not think there would be a church that would hire me as a missionary, since I could not speak Greek or Hebrew, let alone Korean, because I was born and raised in Japan. And even if I was hired, I wouldn't be able to become an evangelist in charge of a Sunday school. As someone like me, who does not like children, I felt so hopeless that I broke out in a cold sweat, thinking, "Oh, I cannot graduate from this seminary. My path as a pastor is over." I still remember calling my wife, whom I was dating at that time, from my school's public phone, half crying. However, there was a church that extended a helping hand to me. That was the mother church that sent the missionary who gave me such wonderful words earlier to Japan. Thanks to a missionary who contacted his home church and asked, "Could you please extend a helping hand to Hong Hyung-fa, who is in trouble?" Then I was hired as a missionary for 2.5 years in this church. As an evangelist, I was in charge of a children's club for 1st to 3rd grade elementary school children, in a household of about 50 children and 15 teachers. We had to manage the annual budget, annual sermon plan, summer school, teachers' meetings, home visits, handing our flyers in front of elementary schools, and so on, along with my studies at the seminary. Although it was a time of great blessing, it was a service that still makes me think I'll never be able to spend those 2 years in fear again. The greatest blessing I received through such service work was not only that I no longer hated children, but that I could no longer help but find children so cute. I was worried about what to do because my Korean was so bad, but instead the children enjoyed my poor Korean, and since I was bad at it, they listened intently to what I had to say. On the contrary, the fact that I was an incompetent evangelist who was bad at Korean and could do nothing turned out to be a blessing as well, but it was a cause in me to experience God's mercy and grace. At first, Approximately 15 teachers felt uneasy about welcoming an evangelist who could neither speak Korean nor work. At first, they wondered, is this guy really okay? Sometimes communication didn't go well, but once again, something like a blessing in disguise happened. And since I was an incompetent evangelist, we all cooperated. While doing so, we were able to build up a children's club. It was nothing but the mercy and grace of Jesus. Once again, God has allowed us to experience the grace and growth that builds up the body of Christ through church service. We were able to share that because we were all uneven, we were united as one through God's intervention, and we built together. Although it was difficult, thankfully there was no emptiness at all, and through Christ, the whole body was brought together and connected by supporting every joint, and each part worked in its own way to grow. I was able to truly experience the body of Christ, which is being built in love. He then said, dedicatees must be humble, not because they have strong faith, but because they are the path of a people with weak faith who will drift away from Jesus if they do not live a life of direct dedication, where their entire life is service to the church. The words of that missionary have stuck with me. We have been studying the book of Ephesians for a long time, and the greatest blessing that we have come to realize is not only that each of us is a child of God in Jesus Christ, but also that God called each of us as a part of the body to enter into the process of growing to the perfection and to the fullness of Christ's stature in order to build up the body of the church with Christ as its head. We are currently going through an important process of building up and growing as we combine with each other within the church community. And the words of Ephesians chapter 4 verses 12 through 16 teach us that everything we experience within the church organism is necessary for us to reach the fullness of Christ. In other words, when we live in church, we tend to judge things, events, and even people in a short-sighted and cruel way, saying, that is a problem, that is bad. All of these things are necessary for us to be built up in the love of Christ. In every church, in the course of church life or history, there are times when people quit church life because they stumble or tumbled, hurt or hurted. This is actually a waste of spiritual maturity. The church is a place where, if you don't come, you're going to lose out. Our religious life does not end when we worship God alone, but a necessary element for the growth of faith is interaction with others. Church life always involves relationship with others, and in a sense, service means going deeper into the church life, and the deeper you go, the most blessed you will be. These blessings are usually accompanied by human relationships, and there are joys, there are awkward times, there are hurts, there are being hurt, and to go even further, there are things that people do not experience in the general society. When we experience all these, we learn about every corner of human existence. This is because the church is a place where we can express the true nature of humans in the Savior, the Lord Jesus, in front of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and therefore we cannot truly know humans. We can truly know humans. The church is a place where you can essentially know who you are as a person. When I was a university student, my friends and I rented an 8-seated van and went on a 1-week road trip from San Diego, California to San Francisco. On that trip, we visited the prestigious universities of Stanford University and UC Berkeley, which we all admired, and went on a sightseeing tour of the campuses. While enjoying the surrounding towns, I took photos, bought t-shirts, and merchandises. It was a fun time, but I cannot say that I truly went to Stanford University or UC Berkeley through that tour. If we study hard to finally get into the university and study harder in order to graduate, and if we are finally able to graduate from it, we would have truly went and graduated the school, and we would gain experience and fruit that cannot be gained by just sightseeing the university. I think it's the same with the church. If you end up just looking at the surface and experiencing it, it might be a little fun, but you will not be able to get into the deep flavor. However, the more you enter, the more you interact, the more you are robbed, the more you get to know human beings head-on, and because you get to know humans, realize that the greatness and joy of being one in the spirit, and you would be able to experience the indescribable grace of Christ's love that far exceeds human comprehension, and you would also be able to experience the indescribable grace of Christ's love, which is far beyond human comprehension, and to be seen as a mature adult before God, where this world has failed decisively. The church is a place where we become convinced of the promise and blessing of being built up in love. This is the value of the church, which God gave birth to by going so far as to crucify His unique and only begotten Son, Jesus. Just by entering the church grounds and attending a 1-hour service, of course, worship is the most precious thing, but that alone is too good to waste. The church is the place to confirm we are most precious as a person who has been crucified with Christ, so that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us, and we die daily in Him. In the world, we must teach and think about how to win against others every day, but in church, we learn how to lose against others every day. People who try to lose to others in the church are not losers, but people who try to live by faith. We know the futility of winning over others and realize the value of dying daily in Christ. The only place that can learn this is the church, the body of Christ, the group purchased with the price of Christ's love, Christ's life. The church is a place designed to penetrate down to the marrow of our bones, digging up, uncovering, and extracting our true feelings and essence. That is the church. It may be a bit of a hustle in a sense. However, if you want to know the true nature of human beings, there is no better place in this world than this, and it is both a privilege and a responsibility to know the true nature of human beings in God. If you think so, there is no other place where you can be so grateful. In this general society we live in, God has given us a place where we can face, be trained, and confirm things that we can never experience and are not trained to experience So the church is a place that you cannot help but come to. And language of online streaming and online worship have permeated churches across Japan. You may now be able to listen to the Word of God through online streaming at home with your family who had never come to church before, or you may be unable to attend Sunday services due to health issues, transportation issues, or work. I believe it is true that it was a blessing from God that we were able to provide an alternative option, online worship, to those who had difficulty attending a church. On the other hand, I think it is very unfortunate that even after the pandemic has passed, there are still people who have not returned to church, not only in Japan, but all over the world. Of course, I fully understand that many people are doing this due to health, lifestyle, or personal concerns, but I feel like it would be a waste if they did not come when they could. If you say, well, that's just the way the times are, that might be the end of it, but if you look at the Bible, there is a line that says, because we are in such a time, we must not stop gathering together. What should we think about these words? I'm praying and wondering if I should go. Let us read from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is also in Hebrew chapter 10, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, do we really know what kind of time this is in Christ? Are you aware that the time has come to wake up from your sleep? Do you feel a sense of spiritual tension that the day of ultimate salvation is approaching, the time of the second coming? If so, let's gather together and encourage each other. If not, let's get together and encourage each other. In today's world, to follow the custom of some people and stop gathering together means to spend time in the world of individuals in line with their own worldviews and values. But if that's all you do, before you know it, you are at risk of falling into the trap of the devil, who preys on human souls, which he can devour like a roaring lion. That's why we gather. The church is an indispensable place for us to confirm this and for us to reach the stature of Christ as we move towards the day together. And the church is the body that God has prepared for us to belong to. It was the same with the people of Israel in the Old Testament, with Elijah, who complained of his loneliness to God, with David, who was running away from Saul all by himself. He has prepared the family of God for us to share and promised us the blessings of living with them. Above all, humans were created by God so that they could not live alone, and Eve was given to the first man, Adam, as someone who would help each other. The church is built entirely through relationships between people, and God has prepared and is waiting for us to find important things in the human relationships that exist in God. And church service is probably the best opportunity given to us to enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for us. It would be a waste not to be involved in these blessings. A service volunteer request form has been distributed last week for 2024. And I hope that you will pray and be involved in church services. It contains plenty of nutrients that will help us grow to the stature of Christ. So we would appreciate it if you would pray and work on it. Of course, we are not forcing ourselves to proceed. Service is performed by those who are able to do what they can, together with those who cannot, while remembering gratitude. There is no such thing as pride or a compliment. Therefore, let's pray about what is good and what we can do to stay connected to Christ and to stay connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The church is not the place where abilities and knowledge gather, but a place where those who have been spiritually born again in Christ and those who are about to be born again come together in God's indescribable grace and blessing. It is a place where children are gathered together and learn by walking together, learning the language, and learning how to live. We are clumsy, inexperienced, immature, and bad at everything. Sometimes I make someone stumble, and sometimes someone makes me stumble. However, one thing you should know is that when you think, "I cannot take it anymore," ask yourself, "What would Jesus Christ have done?" Being able to treat your problems as your own rather than theirs, other people's, is a sign of belonging to the church, the body of Christ. Let us serve Christ, serve others, participate in death with Christ in his passion, and enjoy together the grace of Christ's resurrection. Service in Christ builds up our bodies. Let us pray.